It is the verses 12 through 14 we want to consider this morning. Towards the middle of verse 13 and verse 14 reads, "But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." In the early 1900s, there was a Flying Scotsman born into this world. His name was Eric Liddell. Although he was born in China, young Eric, as a boy, returned to England. And then in his late teens, he moved to the University of Edinburgh. And it was here that Eric Liddell, who was raised by missionaries in China, he was then known in Scotland as the fastest runner in both the 100 metres and the 220 yards. His infamy also led him to be a rugby player, and he competed in the then known Five Nations, now known as the Six Nations, scoring 4 tries in the process. In 1924, he was invited to run the 100 metres in the Paris Olympics. But of course, you know the story well. Eric Liddell, he refused on the grounds that the race was a Sunday and he was a Bible-believing Christian. Eventually, however, circumstances opened for him to run the 200 metres on a different day. And of course, he ran that race and received the gold medal. Eric Liddell, at that stage of his life, he was going for gold. However, soon after his fame and infamy of being an Olympian, whenever he returned to Scotland, the Lord began then to deal with him about running a different race. He began to deal with him about going back to China, where his parents were missionaries and where he was born. You see, his eyes had now captured a far greater prize. His eye was now on a far greater crown, if you like. And now in verse 14, we could sum up Eric Liddell's goal, Eric Liddell's prize. It was to press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Today we live in a goal-orientated society. Society seems to be obsessed with setting goals, setting aims, setting objectives. And there's nothing wrong with that. It is good to be driven as long as it's harnessed for the glory of God. But here we find in Philippians chapter 3, Paul, he takes up this theme of an aim, of a goal, or of an objective in the Christian life. And he sets it before the Philippian believers. You see, he speaks of the Christian life as a race. And just as the runner, as he gets ready for the race and then is engaged in the running of that race, the runner, he has that one aim. The aim is the prize before him. The reason Paul does this and takes up this theme at this juncture is to address an issue in the church at Philippi. You see, there were those in Philippi, and they were doing well, I suppose you could say, in the race. There were those who were mature. There were those who were progressing spiritually with God. We read in verse 15, Paul addresses them, chapter 3, as many as be perfect. And the word perfect here, it doesn't mean completely perfect. Rather, it means mature. It means complete. So Paul here, he's basically saying there are some in the church at Philippi, and they are mature. They are complete in their walk with the Lord. However, there were others. And verse 15, he goes on to state, there were those who be otherwise minded. In other words, they had a different mind. They were not perfect, as it were. They were not complete. They were not mature as believers. And so there was this diversity of believers in the church at Philippi. Some were progressing, some were mature, some were going on with God, but there were others, and they were otherwise minded. They weren't progressing as they ought to. And Paul addresses both kinds of people. And what he was basically stating in the verses preceding, verses 12 through 14, was this. It doesn't matter whether you're complete, whether you're mature, whether you're going on with God and you're, as it were, mature in your Christian life, or whether you are otherwise minded, whether you perhaps are not where you should be spiritually. It doesn't matter where you are in your walk with God. We are still to be progressing. Yes, you, he was saying there are those and they've been saved for many years and they're going on with God. But does that mean they stop? No, it doesn't. No, whatever their spiritual condition, like the runner in the race, they should be going forward. In verses 12 through 14, he uses some verbs to emphasize this. Look at them. Following after, reaching forth, pressing toward. All of them speak of action. All of them speak of progress. And he was saying this. It doesn't matter whether you've been saved for years or even decades, or how spiritually mature you are, or whether perhaps you've been saved for days, weeks, even months. You're all to be spiritually progressing, running the race, pressing towards the mark in your Christian race. You see, progress is not optional. Progress is obligatory. Whether you be a mature or immature believer, you should always be progressing. I wonder today, is that your life's experience currently? Can you say, I'm reaching forth? Can you say, I'm pressing towards the mark? Can you say, I'm striving, I'm following after Jesus Christ? Are you progressing spiritually? Yes, you might have been converted years, decades, or you could have even been converted days or weeks. It doesn't really matter. What matters is this. Are you going forward with the Lord? Or perhaps are you lagging behind in the race? Are you going forwards or backwards? Are you progressing or are you regressing? Do you know more of Christ now, currently, than you did previously? Oh, today are you going forward? That's the issue here. Paul is saying it doesn't matter whether we're mature or whether we're otherwise minded. It doesn't matter. What matters is we're pressing toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. And so he takes up this theme in verses 12 through 14, this thought of going forward, of progressing. And he takes us into the arena. In the original text here, there are many, many different allusions to the race and to the Greek games. And so this morning, I want us just simply to consider the subject of running for the prize. Running for the prize. I want you to see firstly here Paul's declaration. Paul's declaration. Verse 12, he states, not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect. Think about that just for a moment. Not as though I had already attained, either were perfect. If there was ever a Christian in Scripture, or indeed in this earth, that had the right to stick out their chests in pride, then it was Paul. For after all, you think of all that he had accomplished for Jesus Christ. You think of him even now. He's coming towards the end of his life. He's under house arrest. He's imprisoned. And now he's looking back down the annals of his life. And Paul, as he looked back, he could have boasted that all that he had done for Jesus Christ. For example, he could have thought about the difference that he had made in Ephesus. Ephesus, of course, was a pagan society. It was a place that was given over to sin, but now there was multiple thriving churches there. He could have thought about the influence the gospel had in Corinth. Remember the list there in 1 Corinthians 6, that long list of sinners that were in Corinth, those who were drunken, those who lived in a immoral lifestyle. But what did he say? Such were some of you, now you're washed, now you're sanctified. Oh, Paul had went to sin-sick Corinth, and Paul had seen things happen there. You think of how, through his influence, there was a thriving church established in Luxon, Luxurious Laodicea, as well as Colossae. Even now, the garrison city of Philippi now had a thriving church, all stemming from his influence. And here's Paul the aged, And he's in the prison cell. And does he write to this church about his long list of attainments for Jesus Christ? No. What he says is this: not as though I had already attained. Either were already perfect. What was he saying? Yes, I have accomplished so much for Jesus Christ. But I, Paul, have not arrived yet. I have not arrived. There is still so much to do for Jesus Christ. There is still so much sin in my life that needs dealt with. There is still so many souls that need to be reached. And he realized that truth, that this side of glory, although it would be his desire to be perfect, he never would be perfect, even though he desired to be. And this side of glory, we will never have arrived. We will always be arriving. We'll never reach the stage where we could say, I have already attained. Oh, this morning, what is your goal as a Christian? Your one goal should be this: complete conformity to Jesus Christ. Your goal, your desire should be, your holy ambition should be, to be a mirror image of Jesus Christ. You should desire complete conformity to Him. You should desire that, to live a completely holy and a completely sinless life. Now the Bible tells us that we'll never reach this goal. And so what we're learning this morning is this: that we can never say we've arrived. We can never say we have already attained until we enter into the immediate presence of God, and there we are made perfect. Oh, if Paul, despite all of his accomplishments, could say, look, I've still so much to achieve, then really there's no room. No room for boasting. There is no room for pride and on the part of the believer. If Paul could say, I haven't attained, then how could we ever think or say such a thing? Paul says in Galatians 6, verse 3, if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. And Paul states that a man, all that a man ever will be, is nothing. Nothing. That's what he states. Man, when he thinketh himself to be something, when he is nothing, he's deceived. Again, you remember the time in Paul's experience before he was a Christian. There was a time when Paul felt that he had arrived. You look at it earlier on in this chapter, verse 6, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Oh, there was a time in Paul's experience where he felt he was completely perfect, where he was blameless. But how wrong was he? But notice now in Christ, notice the difference that Paul has now in his mindset. Verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended. Oh, he thought before he was saved that he had arrived, but after he came to Christ, I count not myself to have apprehended. And rather than arriving, you should always be apprehending. You should always be striving for progress. If you've reached a level today where you say, I'm spiritually content, then that's dangerous ground. If you've reached a level today where you think, you know what, I'm happy enough with my own level of personal holiness and righteousness, that'll do me now until I get to glory, well, again, that is very dangerous ground. There is still sin in your life that needs to be conquered. There is still scripture that needs to be understood. There are still souls that need to be converted. May you still have so much to do in your Christian life. There is still so many battles to fight, and that's with yourself, not even considering society around us. There is still so much to do. And your cry ought to be like Paul's: oh, I will never have arrived. I will never fully have attained. You know, a little girl one day, she went to her local Roman Catholic priest. She wanted to confess her sins, as she stated she had committed the sin of vanity. The priest asked her, well, why do you think that? And she said, well, sir, every day I look into the mirror And I think I'm just the most beautiful woman alive. The priest looked at her and he thought for a moment and then he responded, that isn't sin. It's just a mistake. And you know, as a believer, you can be tempted into thinking that way, spiritually speaking. My, there's no one like me. My, I've arrived. But what does Paul state? He states here, oh, he hadn't arrived. He hadn't attained. Paul had a correct estimate of himself. And so his goal was always to win Jesus Christ. Oh, here's Paul. He's running for the prize. And he gives us the reason why. Paul's declaration. I want you to see secondly here, Paul's decision. His decision. Verse 13, he states, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. Forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. The word forgetting here, it means literally to cease to be affected by. And Paul here, he again takes us to the arena. Paul, he's taking up the theme of running, the games. And he draws in our minds the picture of a runner and he's reaching forth unto those things which are before. But what is he doing? Well, he's not looking back. Forgetting those things which are behind. He's not looking back to see who's behind him. He's not looking back to see what is the gap between him and the next person. And Paul takes this analogy and he applies it to himself spiritually. He's saying this, I'm forgetting all that's in the past. I'm ceasing to be affected by all that's in the past. And he then states it and he states, this is how I'm running. I'm not going to be affected by the past. I'll always be looking forward, pressing toward the mark. Now, what could Paul have been looking back at? Well, he perhaps could have been looking back at past failures. You think of Paul before he was a Christian. Paul, he had literally killed with his hands believers. Can you imagine the mental trauma that perhaps could have caused Paul, now a Christian? You think of Acts 7, as Stephen there, the first Christian martyr, was stoned for Jesus Christ. And the Bible tells us his face, it shone. Who was there? Paul was there. And the Bible tells us he was consenting unto the death of Stephen. Oh, he didn't have, as it were, the stone in his hand, but Paul was there egging them on. Do you not think that maybe this would have potentially affected him? But what does he say? Forgetting those things which are behind. I'm not looking back at my past failures. Perhaps he could have also, as we have already intimated, looked back at his past successes. Maybe perhaps he could have been tempted to call to mind all of these spiritual accolades and praises that would have come his way. After all, as he went back to churches, they undoubtedly would have been extremely favorable towards him. A careful reading of Acts 20 shows us that Paul had a great relationship with the elders at Ephesus. Oh, they wept. They didn't want to see him go. They got down on their knees on the seashore and they didn't want to say goodbye to Paul. But what does Paul state here? He states, I'm leaving those things which are behind. Past successes, past failures. They're not going to affect me. I'm ceasing to be affected by them. I'm looking forward. I'm not looking back. You see, before you can go forward in the future, you need to forget your past. Forget past failures and past successes. Now, there are times when it is profitable to look back and to retrace and rehearse all the goodness of God with you. Sometimes that encourages you. Sometimes that builds you up when you think of all that the Lord has done in the past. But there's usually a tendency in individuals when they look back in the past, there are usually two responses. Perhaps if you look back to past successes, then you tend to live in them and you rest on your laurels or your accomplishments. You, as it were, spiritually put your feet up and you say, well, I've done all of that in the past. I have nothing more to do in the future. Also, there is the tendency that if you live in past failures, it hinders you and you stay back for fear of making the same mistake again. Paul states, we're not to be affected by the past. We are to leave past failures and past successes. We're to leave those things which are behind, and we're then to look forward, press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Yes, past trips as well as past triumphs, past failures, past falls, past fallouts, we are to leave them behind and we are to look forward. Again, Paul likening the Christian life to a race. He said in Hebrews 12, verse 1, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. What is he saying? Saying the runner in the games, they make sure that there's nothing that's cleaving to them that would hold them back. They lay aside that weight that has the potential to hinder them in the race. Then they were to run the race set before them. Again in Luke 9:62, we read there, no man having put his hand to the plough and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. If you want to go forward in the present, then you need to forget about your past. Forget about it and move on. And press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. Wonder perhaps as a past situation, past mistake, a past thing said, a past thought, a past action, I wonder has that been hindering you? Well, Paul says, leave those things behind, cease to be affected by them, and press towards the mark. Roger Bannister was the first man to run a mile in less than 4 minutes. 2 months later, his record was beaten by 1.4 seconds by a man named John Landy. And so what did they do? Well, they decided that they would get together and they would race to see who was the fastest between them and who could run the mile the quickest. As they met together on August 7th, 1954, they moved into the last lap and Landy was in the lead. And he saw the finish line approaching. He knew that he was winning. And what did he do? Landy looked back to see how far Bannister was behind him. And as soon as he looked back, Bannister overtook him and Bannister won. Landy was later interviewed by Time magazine and he stated this, if I hadn't looked back, I would have won. Oh, could that maybe perhaps sum you up this morning? If I hadn't looked back, then perhaps I would have progressed. The Lord's saying it doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what has happened in the past, what you've done in the past, past successes, past failures. He's saying forget about it and progress forward with Christ. Paul's declaration, his decision. I want you to see thirdly here is determination. Verses 12 and 13 we read, I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Paul uses a variety of metaphors here to speak about his progress. Paul was determined not only to forget the past, but to press on in the present. He states in verse 12, I follow after. What does this mean? It really has the idea of a hot pursuit. It has the idea of a hunter, and he's pursuing after or following after his prey. It also has the idea of the runner chasing after the finish line. There's the idea of action. There's the idea of a hot pursuit. Paul is saying, I'm determined to press forward. I'm following after. Again in verse 13, He states that he was reaching forth. You can imagine the picture he uses here. And it's still used in athletics today. An individual, they see the finish line, it's coming closer, and what do? They reach forth. They try to reach the finish line as quickly as possible. And what's Paul saying? He's saying, I'm almost there, I'm straining now to reach the finish, I'm stretching with all that I have, every fiber, every muscle, to win this race. And as well as remembering to forget the past, you need to not to forget to reach forth in the present, to stretch forth in progress. Well, Paul is saying that yes, it's difficult. It's difficult to forget about the past. They come up in your mind. They take your mind. It's difficult to leave it in the past, but we are to do that through the gospel, through the forgiveness that's in Jesus Christ. But we're then not only to forget the past, but we are to strain forth with everything that we have in progress. We are to pursue the Lord, just as the runner pursues the finishing line, and he is stretching forth and reaching out. Just as the hunter pursues after his prey and is not going to stop until he gets what he's after, so we are to pursue after Jesus Christ, to deny self, to fight against sin. Paul states in Hebrews 12 verse 4, ye have not resisted unto blood, striving against sin. And the word resist there has the idea in the Greek of two armies, and they're facing each other side by side. And what is Paul saying? He's saying this. We are, as it were, to stand up to sin just like a battle, just like an army, face to face, and strive against it, fight against it. In all of your struggles, you are to strive, to press forward, and to fight against sin. You see, sanctification is a war. Progress is not a party. Progress is a battle. Oh, it's going to take difficulty, going to take time, and it's going to take effort to reach forth to, as it were, win and apprehend Jesus Christ. It's going to take all that you have to fight against lethargy, and to fight against apathy, and to fight against your own depravity, and to reach forth and go on and progress with the Lord. But this is the picture that Paul is setting before us. He's saying the finish line's in view, and we are to stretch forth. We are to strain every spiritual muscle that we have and progress with Jesus Christ. So there is the declaration, decision, determination. I want you to see lastly here, Paul's desire. Verse 14, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. This all follows from what he says in verse 13. This one thing I do. This one thing I do. Not these many things I do. This one thing I do. I want to suggest to you this morning, Paul was no triathlete. Paul was no decathlete. Paul, he ran one race, one event. The Christian running race for Jesus Christ. And in verse 14, he sums that up. The phrase, press towards the mark, it refers again to the goal that one has in view. The word mark, it means goal. The word prize, however, in the original, it has the idea of the winner of the race standing in the podium. And the umpire then taking the crown and crowning then the victor on the podium. Here's Paul, and he's running the race, and he's achieved so much for Jesus Christ. But he's not perfect. There's still ground to be taken. There's still progress to be made. And what is his motivation? Well, he states it's the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I want to suggest to you this, that the prize that he has in view is not merely the rewards of Jesus Christ, it's Christ himself. Christ himself. I believe that this was what Paul was setting before him. That thought of meeting Christ, that thought of coming before him, as it were, and bowing before his podium, so to speak, and saying, Christ, I'm with you now. Christ, I'm perfect. You see, prove it to me. Well, verse 8. I do count them but dung that I may win Christ. You see, as well as forgetting setbacks, you need to focus on the Savior. Focus on Christ as your prize. What is it that has put you in the race, as it were, so to speak? It's that thought of Christ dealing with you, taking you off the broad road that leads to destruction and placing you in the running race that is the Christian life. He's the one who set you in the race to begin with. And so you are to focus on him. You're to have him as your entire focus. Focus in on him. He is the finishing line. He is your prize. And so you are to set him before you as you endure and as you run the race. Paul speaks of it in this term. Hebrews 12, verses 1 and 2. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Paul again is in the arena here. What is he saying? He's saying we are to continually look. That's the tense. Continually, constantly looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Oh, this morning, what is it that's going to keep you motivated? What is it that's going to help you leave the past where it is and stretch and press forward towards the mark? It's Christ. It's that continual, that constant gaze upon the face of the Savior. Running for the prize. Forgetting those things which are behind. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. May the Lord write his word upon our hearts this morning.